Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Many of us have people in our lives who bring more angst than joy, but rather than these individuals just dragging us down, they could actually be speeding up the rate at which we age. Psychologists have long known that strong social ties shape our longevity, with one review suggesting that social isolation may have as strong an influence on mortality as obesity or a lack of exercise. That's according to research from New York University, which involved over 2,000 people. So, how do we deal with a toxic friendship? I'm joined by Helen Vaughan, psychotherapist at the Coast Counselling in Malahide. Good morning to you, Helen. How in the first place do you recognise a friendship as being toxic?
I think it's a friendship where maybe there isn't give and take on a somewhat equal level. Or if there's someone in your life who you don't feel good around, you don't feel like the best version of yourself, for want of a better phrase. You know, they make you feel bad about yourself. Mm-hmm. Maybe they criticise you. Maybe they expect a lot from you. There's a lot of friendships where one person is very demanding or is used to you doing a lot for them, and if that doesn't change and over time you kind of feel like, you know, I don't have my own space here. This doesn't feel like a give and take situation. That can, and if there's control and manipulation, if there's someone doing things, you know, kind of passive aggressive, where they say one thing but they're face says something else, and just where you don't feel good around someone, really.
How much of those kind of behaviours should we tolerate as the ordinary give and take of friendships, though? Because there are good people who can be, you know, occasionally manipulative.
Well, I think if it's occasional, it's probably not going to cause you too much emotional, you know, harm or hardship. But if it's a friendship where you end up feeling like you do a lot for them and they don't do the same for you, like I see a lot of clients who'll come in and they'll start to explore something. And the problem with a lot of us is a lot of us are people pleasers. So we do what we think someone else wants us to do to try to get the validation of feeling good about ourselves, that they say we're a good person. So often we end up doing a lot for someone else, thinking that we'll feel good about it, when in fact, you might be using up all your energy to serve everyone else's needs and your own needs are at the bottom of the list or not even on the list at all. So that's when it gets to a problematic level where, you know, maybe someone else is just dictating what we do. They want to go out on Friday night and we don't, or they want you to come and bring their car to the garage. You know, it can be anything. But if you feel it's just not give and take on an equal level, or that you're not getting something good from the relationship, then I think it's worth reviewing. Indeed. Is it working?
The people-pleasing thing is key, though. So what you have to do here is examine your feelings and remember how it is that you feel when the phone rings and your initial instinct is, oh God, not this person again, rather than how rewarded you feel when they give you that little pat on the head for doing whatever it is that they wanted.
Exactly, because you become reliant on the pat on the head and you don't always get it. Because I'll often say to clients, they'll be like, oh, well, they think I'm great because I brought their car to the garage. I'm like, well, how do you know that? Did they say thank you? Did they seem appreciative? Did they tell you you're good? That we often project those expected outcomes onto the other person. You know, it's the same in a negative way, or they think I'm an idiot, or they think I'm foolish. When, and I'm again, okay, where's the evidence for that? What do you know of what they think about you? And often you don't. That I think we often project things onto other people and we try to do a lot to make ourselves feel good, but actually most people will then burn out. You know, and you might have a friendship that's so one-sided, you're doing all the work, you're feeling burnout, and you're like, well, what's the point of this? If I'm like their mother or I'm like their child or whatever it is, but is it working for you? Are you getting something from it? Maybe you're not.
Okay. So if, Helen, you have reached the point where you have decided, I don't need any more Philip in my life, he's just a narcissistic, manipulative, nasty individual, what do you do? Do you just ghost me silently, or do you actually break up as a friend with me?
And that's a hard question. You've painted yourself as a narcissist, and I would say with someone who's narcissistic, you probably won't be able to sit down, have a conversation and get them to hear the problems for you and get them to empathize and examine their own behavior. Yeah. A narcissist won't do that. So there's no point. And I think it depends on the situation. If you've someone you've known for a long time and you want to keep them in your life, can you sort of explore some boundaries with them that you need for the friendship to keep going? Is it worth having that conversation? Do you think they'd be receptive, open to it, open to taking responsibility for their piece while you take responsibility for your piece? That's the ideal kind of scenario. Okay. And you both say, okay, well, I did this and I shouldn't have, and I'll try and do that in future. But with some people who are toxic, they won't necessarily want to or be able to examine their own behaviour. And in that situation, I think you're better just create your own boundaries and try to maybe create space between you and that person.
So start with coffee, yes, but no more trips to the garage to pick up your car or whatever it is. But recognise that, unfortunately, there might just be those occasions where you have to stop answering the phone.
Well, and that happens sometimes where you just create space between yourself and that person if you think they're not capable of having a conversation about it. And a lot of people, if you do try to have the conversation, they might be very defensive. People say, oh, I hate conflict. When in fact, I think we often just hate uncomfortable conversations. And I do think we need to get better at that, having those conversations where you say, you know, in this situation, I feel ignored when I've brought your car to the garage twice and you don't even ring me once a week anymore. You know what I mean? That you're just trying to say that I want more from this relationship and I'm happy to work in it with you. If the other person is willing to, great. But if you feel you're not going to get anything from them, sometimes it's just creating your own personal boundaries, knowing what your energy, resources, capability are and knowing where they end. And sometimes learning to say no, although it's hard, especially if you're a people pleaser or a reformed people pleaser, it's learning to say no and go, do you know what, Friday, I have actually something else on. So I'll talk to you next week and we'll do something else. You know, it's just trying to respect your own space, boundaries, people in your life and stick to them.
Let's go back to that research that I referred to at the beginning, though, about the physical downsides of social isolation, the mental and medical impacts of living life on your own. Are you better off having a friendship, however flawed, than trying to go it alone?
I don't know if that's a question I can answer. You know, some people, I think a lot of people have too many friendships that are probably acquaintances. So it's trying to figure out who are the people that really matter to you, that there is give and take in the relationship. It's good. It gives you something. It boosts your well-being. You know, you've stuff in common. You've good energy with them, good conversations, deep conversations, if that's what you want. So it's figuring out which ones are good for you and you want to keep. Then some people do like their own company and they don't want to spend time with others. And that's fine too. So it's trying to figure out what works for you. You know, and the friendships that are very stressful, they will trigger the stress response in your body. So that means your stress hormones are firing. Your body thinks it's under attack or about to be attacked by a predator. So it sends stress hormones to your arms and legs. So you can run for your life. And that's the bit that becomes harmful for health. You know, that if your body is constantly very stressed, it's constantly firing up, ready to do fight, flight, freeze responses, then that means that impacts your physiology, it impacts your body, and that's where it can be bad for your health. Okay. If the friendship or relationship isn't good for you, it's causing you stress.
So you have those friends that you have identified then as toxic or manipulative or whatever. Let them go off and do their own work on themselves once you've excised them from your life. What though do you need to be asking about yourself if you have said, God, you know what, I am a people pleaser. Why do I have this need for the pat on the head from these friends?
Often that points to low self-esteem or maybe whatever relationships you had growing up in your home when you were young, your family of origin. So was I taught that achievement is the main thing I should be doing? So I should be doing things that I get affirmation that I'm good because I get a good result or I win a game or I score a goal or whatever it is. Why is it that you need external validation to feel good about yourself? Mm. And it's learning ultimately, can you give it to yourself? Can you say, do you know what? We had a nice night out last night or a nice coffee or whatever. And I felt I was in good form and we had good chats. And you can kind of give it to yourself and be like, I think I'm a good friend because I do X, Y, Z, but that you don't need them to say, oh, thanks so much, Helen. I was so appreciative of the fact that you did whatever it was. You know, that you can just say to yourself, do you know what? I helped that person out and I thought that was good. That you don't necessarily need them to validate and give you that pat on the head. So it's trying not to seek validation externally all the time.
Yeah, tough one, isn't it, though? Because that need for recognition is a very basic kind of human impulse. But if you can wean yourself off it, you'll be all the better for it. Helen Vaughan, psychotherapist at The Coast Counselling in Malahide. Thank you very much for joining us this morning.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.